forgot to tell you, there's a bunch of big words in there. So we have Youth Sunday today, and it's really just this message, I guess, would be Family Youth and Parent Sunday. Amen? Because you can't really have youth without parents. You can't. It just don't work that way. I don't care what the world is trying to tell you. You can't have kids without parents. And you can't have kids without male and female. Somebody say amen. It's the way God designed it. So we have, as Dominique read, and that in the third year of the reign of King of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. We started this message on Youth Sunday in July. And so we got through part of it. So now we're picking up the other half. And I'm going to kind of take my time with it because it's just, it's so much in it. So I don't know how far we're going to get today, but somewhere around 10:30 we'll close up. And where we are, and we'll continue it at the next Youth Sunday. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So we have King Jehoiakim. And if you read in 2 Chronicles 36:5-10, we'll find out that he is from the tribe of Judah, which means praise. Daniel, he's also a relative of Daniel. They're descendants. They both come from praise. But within that praise was a bunch of disobedience. And because of Jehoiakim's disobedience, his descendants were taken to Babylon, besieged, prisoners, the children included. And Babylon stands for confusion. So their praise became confusion because of disobedience. And because of what the parents did, or the relatives, the uncles, the aunts, or whoever within the family, because of what they did, the kids were locked up. So let's kind of put this in our context. So this is a message to parents. Is there anything I'm doing that will be worth my kid being locked up in jail? So let's say if I do something and I know if I do it, my kid's going to jail to be locked up. Not me, but my kid. So what would you do when they say, when we catch you doing it, we're taking, not you, we're going to leave you alone, but we're going to put your kid in jail. Well, is anything worth doing for the freedom of your kid? Right. But we see it in the physical, but do we see it in the spiritual? It makes sense in the physical, but then we go out and do stuff in the spiritual that affects our kids, and they get locked up physically, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally, and we're okay with that. If it doesn't make sense in the physical, it definitely shouldn't make sense in the spiritual. And then you have parents who say things like, well, you know, the kids are okay. But you don't give kids enough credit. They're resilient. They'll be fine. But that's just an excuse for parents to be irresponsible and selfish. Amen. So here we are. The stage is set. Daniel's carried away. He's a youth. You listen to the different scholars' youth. Daniel's somewhere between 12 and 18. All right? He's somewhere between 12 and 18. And he's locked up. Besieged. Look at verse 2. Underline if you haven't already that the Lord gave. The Lord allowed it. The Lord allowed it. Because of their disobedience, God said, okay, I'm going to let you, I'm going to let it roll like that. I'm going to allow you to get caught up in some stuff because of your disobedience. So parents, remember this. Make sure we're praying for our kids, right? Not only because there's a lot going on, and not only because we can't be with our kids all the time, make sure you're praying because God hears the prayers of the righteous. It's not because of what we've done, but because of Jesus Christ that we're righteous. So our prayers through the blood of Jesus, because the righteousness of Jesus, our prayers are heard and answered by God. So make sure you're praying. Remember, it's not a religious activity. It's a relationship opportunity. Because God hears prayers, that's why we should pray. It's not performance-based, it's grace-based. So here we are. Verse 2, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God. So there's things that were in the house of God that when he got captured, they took things that were reserved for God. And look what they did with them. They carried him away into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. Notice that's a little god. They took the things that were reserved for God and gave them to a false god. And he brought the vessels into the treasure. He brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. So things that were reserved for God goes to the enemy because of disobedience. First, then the king spoke unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring, underline his certain children. He's not after all kids. He's after certain children. And youth, I can tell you, because you're sitting in church, the enemy's after you. He don't care about the other kids. He already got them. He could care less about. They're already working his plan. Hey, he's only after certain ones. The ones that are being taught. The ones that are trying to serve God. The ones that are committed to God. The ones that are at least thinking about living right. He could care about the rest. He got them covered. They're already doing what he wants them to do. It's always certain ones that he's after. You got to understand, kids, you got like a target, a bullseye on your back. And that's why we pray for you all. But understand what's going on here. The enemy's out to steal, kill, and destroy. Look what he says. After certain children of Israel and of the king's seed. Remember, they want the kings. They want the royalty. And you all have to remember that you are royalty. I know that they've been teaching you in youth that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. God has created you. And then when you're born again, you're a priest. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. Remember, God has created you as a special treasure. You can read in Deuteronomy 7 and 6. We're all special treasure. Enemy's job is to get us to live like turned out trash. He's trying to turn these kids out. And we see the world is doing the same thing. This is such a parallel, such a mirror to our society, how the world is trying to turn our kids out. Through mainstream media, through social media, through the music, through the TV, through the radio, through you watch a 30-minute sitcom. And you're going to see sex, you're going to see drugs, you're going to see homosexuality, you're going to see everything. Just in 30 minutes. And that's just the commercials. And that's just the commercials. That's what we're up against. Certain children that he's after. Of the king's seed. Man, somebody underline that. We are the king's seed. We are the king of king's seed. Stop living like trash, family. It's a mentality. It starts with the mind. We have to get our minds renewed with the word. Keep your finger here. Look at, turn to Deuteronomy 6. I've been kind of studying this in Bible study. Remember, just make a note. If you can come out Wednesday nights, at least once a month, come out to the Bible study. It's been just really good. As we've been going through Romans and Deuteronomy, the parallels, you see God in the Old Testament concealed, but not even really concealed. God is loud and clear in the person of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And then he's definitely revealed in the New Testament. But look at Deuteronomy 6 and 6. And it's talking to the children of Israel. God's just given them the commandments. And now Moses is talking to the parents through God. Verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart. Underline that it has to be in your heart. It all starts with the heart. It's all about the heart. Everything that you are. We've had an interesting conversation on Wednesday nights. And sometimes you have people that make a deathbed confession. People have lived all kind of way. Now they're on their deathbed. And they say, I accept Jesus Christ. And we're having a debate. Man, that was just with the mouth. We don't know, because if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you should be saved. You can say anything with your mouth, but that don't mean it's in your heart. Oh, my dad said he confesses Jesus Christ and then he died. Whoa, he's going to be. That was with the mouth. We don't know what the heart is like. So we've been having these interesting discussions because it comes back to the heart. You can say what you want to say, but if it's not in your heart, and only God knows that. And so we just come to the conclusion. Let's make sure we know that we have Jesus Christ in our heart before our time is up, so we don't have to guess at our service. We hope it's later than sooner, but we don't want to guess either way. But this is what he says in verse 6. These words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart, and you should teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up. God said you better be talking about the word when you sit down in your house, outside, before you go to bed, and when you wake up, stay in the word. That's why they go after Daniel then, because they know they've been trained in the word. Bring those descendants. We got to turn them out. And I'm going to tell you, for the next 3 years, we got to teach them our stuff. And see, our youth, if they're not studying the word, then they don't stand a chance. They're no match for the enemy. Youth, you got to stay in the word. You should be reading daily. I'm going to issue a challenge later for all of us. I was listening to the radio, and a dad, his son was going off to college. I believe it was actually the quarterback for the Redskins, Kirk Cousins, who's a born again, sold out Christian. And his dad told him, hey, you need to read Daniel 1, and you got to decide when you go to college if you're going to eat the king's meat or not. Come on. Youth, when you go to middle school, when you go to high school, elementary school, because you know they have gender neutral elementary schools now, where you're just a kid, you're not a boy or a girl. So you got to read Daniel 1, youth, and you got to decide when you're in elementary, middle, and high school if you're going to eat the king's meat or not. And definitely college. You got to decide if you're going to eat the king's meat or not. And he left it at that. Okay, look at verse 8. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontless before your eyes. It's talking about the word. Listen, verse 9. And you shall write them upon the posts of your house and on your gates. The word is everywhere that concerns you, 24/7. That's what Daniel and them were taught in. Go back to Daniel chapter 1. That's what they were taught, and that's why the king, Nebuchadnezzar said, we got to retrain them, because they've been taught in the word. And just shame on us parents if we take the mentality, well, my kids don't have to go to church. Like, I'd never take my kids to church like I did. I would not have them in church all day. They don't have to. I'm going to let them decide what they want to worship. That's in direct violation to God's word. God said, you teach them. Amen. Don't let them figure it out. You don't let them figure out what gender they are. Don't let them figure out what God they're going to serve. You teach them, and you write it all over your house. And you talk about it in the morning and at night and when you're walking. Shame on us for going into direct violation of God's word. I said, you have to teach your kids, otherwise they don't know nothing. And then he goes on to say, and when they ask, how do we have these houses that we didn't pay for and this land that we didn't build? And you tell them, because God did it. When your kids ask you, how do you have food on the table? Why do we have a car? Why do we have resources? Because God did it. You guys think we grow it ourselves? No. We might, but we didn't create the ground that it comes from. How we get a car? Because we God opened the door for us to get a job. And how? Because God opened the door for us to go to school and gave us a right mind to get an education. It's all God. Can't take credit for anything. So I said, you teach them. Are we back at Daniel 1? Okay, let's look at 3. And the king spoke unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel. Gosh. And of the king's seed, I want the king's seed. I want the king of kings' seed. The enemy's out to kill, steal, and destroy us. And of the princes. Verse 4. Children of whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, to whom they might teach, to whom they might turn out the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. We're trying to teach them the Chaldeans now. Forget what they learned. We got to give them our stuff. And youth, that's why you got to be careful. The world's giving you their stuff 24/7. Social media, mainstream media, music, TV, radio. What we got? Netflix, Hulu, Roku, Periscope, everything. You don't have to take a break. Look at verse 5. And he appointed the king, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat. Underline that. See, that's what I'm saying. You don't, youth, you don't get a break now. It's a daily provision. He's providing, enemies providing it for you 24/7 every day. Mainstream media, social media. What we got? Youth, help me out. I know we got Netflix. I know we got Hulu. I know we got Periscope. I know we got YouTube. We got Instagram. We got Facebook. Snapchat. We got Snapchat.
We got Twitter.
Crap chat. We got Twitter. Yeah, MySpace. Anything else? Huh?
MySpace,
yeah. A daily provision. It's provided for us daily. So let me ask the question. And so look, hear what I'm saying, youth. If you're being bombarded 24/7 with that, when are you reading your word? When are you reading your word? Can you read your word for 10 minutes a day? Can you give God 10 minutes a day? Family, you hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
The enemy's trying to steal, kill, destroy. He's out to turn our youth out.
Yes, he is.
Everything's provided for them. They don't even have to think for themselves. And it's the king's meat. Oh, I love this. You guys want the revelation now or later? And it's not about, okay, it starts with the meat. And then it goes to the mind. All right. It starts with the meat because it's not about the meat. First, I thought it was about the food. Although if you're sitting down with the king and you're drinking, it says his meat and you're drinking his wine and you're flowing with him, then he can tell you anything he wants to. It's not about the food. It's about the influence.
That's right.
It starts with the meat and then it goes to the mind. Oh, you guys don't want to act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay. So, ladies, has a guy ever taken you out on a dinner date? And then afterwards, he wants some. Because he started with the meat and tried to influence your mind. Oh, I'm taking you out to dinner. I'm taking you out to dinner and the movies. You better believe something's happening tonight. It's not about the meat. It's about the influence. Guys, have you ever taken... I'm going to leave y'all alone right now.
Teach.
I'm taking her out and okay, y'all would act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I'm gonna be nice this morning, but okay, so let's look at this. Go to Natalie, take us to Matthew 4:3. Matthew 4:3. It's not about the food, it's about the influence. It's not about the meat. It starts with the meat and then it transitions to the mind. That's in Matthew 4:3. Okay, so look how it starts. Jesus has already been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And then look who shows up on verse 3, the tempter. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. It's not about the food. It's about the influence. Since when does Jesus listen to Satan? Since when does Satan tell Jesus what to do? It's not about the meat. It's about the mind. It starts with the meat and then it's trying to get to your mind and transition to influence you. It's funny how it starts with food. All right. From the beginning, let's go back to Genesis 3. Let's go back to Genesis 3. It's about the influence, family. And if you're eating the king's meat and you're hanging out with the king, and you're at his table, he's influencing you to do something you don't want to do. And you don't even know it. Look at Genesis 3:1. From the beginning. Now the serpent was more subtle or cunning than any beast of the field. which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, has God said you should not eat of every tree of the garden? Here we go. See, it's not about the food, though. See, ladies and youth and young ladies and ladies, you can't let so you can't start dialoguing with a snake anyway. The minute you know that this dude's not right, you got to get away from him. You got to cut off the conversation. That was Eve's first mistake, was listening instead of saying, you know what, I'm out of here. Ladies, you can't listen, because it's not about, he's talking about food, he's talking about fruit, he's talking about you, but it's not about that. He's trying to influence you to do something. And when you start dialoguing, then you buy into his program. Amen. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruits. Remember, it's not about the food. It's not about the fruit, it's about the root. What's the root of the conversation? The root of the conversation is to influence you to do something stupid, to influence you to go against God. That's the root. It's not about the fruit. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. The serpent said unto the woman, you ain't going to die. See, here you go. It wasn't even about the food. It's about the now I can influence you. Now that you talk to me, Sister Tara, I can influence you. You should have cut me off a long time ago. You should have deleted my number and blocked it a long time ago. You should have deleted and blocked that number a long time ago. Because it's not about the fruit or the food. It's about the mentality. It's about the mind to get you caught up. I already tell her, you ain't going to die. Verse 4 again, the serpent said unto the woman, you ain't going to die. For God knows that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Family, we don't need to know everything. Somebody say amen. Amen. And then they were already made in God's image. So listen how smooth the enemy is. And that's why you don't talk to the enemy when you notice that he's not coming from a godly perspective. Remember, people come into your life for two reasons: push you closer to God or pull you further away. When you notice this joker is trying to pull you away from God, cut off the conversation, get to moving. He said, your eyes shall be opened and you shall be as gods. But in Genesis, turn back to Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us, underline us. Who is God talking to? That's the Trinity. From the beginning, the Trinity was there. Let us make man in our own image and after our own likeness. They were already like God. You didn't start dialoguing with the enemy. You didn't forget who you are. He said, you're going to be like God, but they were already like God. He's trying to tell you you're going to be something that you already are. Youth, he's trying to tell you you're going to be cool. You're going to be this. You're going to be that. You already are. If you do this, everybody going to know you. Everybody going to be on you. Everybody going to like you. Everybody, you're already liked and loved by God. And God knows who you are. Every hair on your head is numbered. Don't dialogue. You got to cut it off. It's not about the meat. It's not about the food. It's about the influence. Got to watch who you're hanging out with. Amen. Let's go back to Daniel 1. All right, so here we go. Daniel 1 and 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat. Boy, we get it every day, don't we? And of the wine which he drank. How long do I have to start talking about the alcohol? We're going to blame this on alcohol too? And the number of assaults and murders and domestic violence and car accidents and everything that has been caused as a result of the alcohol. And they still sell it. And anything that alters your mind, and we know that when, what, January 1 hits, that marijuana is going to be legal, recreational marijuana. Wow. King and the false king continues to put out stuff on our tables to sell our kids, to influence them for Satan. You got to call it like it is. You can't sugarcoat it. Let's see, where was my scripture at for Proverbs? Proverbs, was it Proverbs 23? Natalie, let's look at Proverbs. Keep your finger there. And we talked about the alcohol. We talked about this with the youth in one of our purpose and purity classes. The influence of alcohol. Because, you know, when you get on a college campus, youth, and we know the drinking age is 21, but in college they think it's 12. They don't care. Jalen was telling me when he was at Tulane, he's like, Dad, they say as long as they don't know about it, they're okay with it. That's just the rule. As long as you don't draw any attention to yourself, they don't care. Let's see, Proverbs 23 and 29. Okay, so let's remember that Daniel's been taught in all of this. There's certain things that in the Jewish custom they're going to eat, they're not going to eat, they're going to drink, they're not going to drink. Daniel has been taught in all this. That's why the king says, look, take these certain ones, these that are royal, bring them to our table. Let's start. We're going to start with the meat. We're going to start with the drink. And then we're going to teach them about our literature and about our ways. All right. So Daniel knows this word. That's why Daniel's going to refuse to buy into it. Now, when we were in Israel at Capernaum, I think I shared this before. I'll share it again. Capernaum, they had uncovered an amphitheater where they do plays and all that kind of stuff that the Romans had built. And so they knew the Jewish culture, so they would actually pay the Jews, they would pay them to come to the theater so they could influence them and turn them out. All right. They're like, no, we don't do that. Hey, look, we'll pay you to come to. Now we pay to go to the movies and get turned out. Now we pay to go to colleges and get turned out. Little man's he's working for the university, as most of you know. He said, Dad, next year the tuition will be $72,000 a year. Room, board, tuition, $72,000. You will pay more than $250,000 and your kid will go to college and get turned out and come back an idiot. We'll go there right away and start eating the king's meat. We will pay for our kids to eat the king's meat. Now, shame on us as parents if we ever elevate college over Christ. As much as I want my kids to go to college, it does not supersede Christ. And you all know I'm not anti-education. I'm a college professor. But I'm telling you, kids are getting turned out every day at those colleges because they don't know the word, because we're not teaching them. And then they go and get caught up. That's why I'm taking my time with this message. Because if we don't start here in the church, it's not like the world's going to say it's okay. They've already said it's okay. All right, so where are we at? Verse, did I say Proverbs 23? And what did I say? Okay, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who hath contention? Who has babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who has the redness of eyes? And that's something they break it down. Solomon breaks it down. It says, they that hang out long at the wine, they that go and seek mixed drink, the strong drink, the Hennessy and the yak and all that kind of stuff. The 40s. Was it 40s and yak and blacks and blunts and jungle juice? Yeah. Have a swinging from the trees in the inner city. Literally and figuratively. But it's not like God hasn't told us. God talks about it right here. So if you hang out too long with the wines and you go and seek mixed drinks, says, don't look upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color in its cup, when it moveth itself aright. You're just looking at it and it looks so good. Look at the commercials. Everybody's having a good time and they all partying and everything. And it's just so good. It's the most interesting man in the world. He drinks Dos Equis. Maybe if I drink, I could be interesting. You can't look at that stuff. And then you got those that are you know, that we look up to that sell us out. They create their own wine, and you got French vodka and all this other. And everybody's having a good time, and they're partying, and you're like, man. God said, don't even look. God said, you can't look at that stuff like that. Because verse 32, at the end, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Your eyes shall behold strange women and your heart shall utter perverse things. You're going to be doing everything you taught not to do. You don't fool yourself. You go to college and you start drinking and hanging out those parties. You're going to do everything you were taught not to do. Because that's the king's meat, and all of a sudden it's not going to be that bad because everybody's doing it. And besides, man, this is pretty nice. I'm having the best time at college. You're going to see strange things. Your heart's going to perverse. You're going to say stuff you didn't even know was inside of you. Hey, the word is true.
Yes, it is.
It is. We know. Amen.
Amen.
Some of us ain't been like, God, help me. You should be as one that lie down in the midst of the sea. You will lose all control. And he that lieth upon the top of a mast, you will be in the middle of nowhere. You will have no control. You will be finished. You won't know whether you're coming or going. You won't know what's up or down. You won't know anything. Verse 35, then you're going to say they beat me up and they hit me and I wasn't even sick. They beat me and I didn't even feel it. I was so drunk I got beat up and didn't even feel it. You know that's bad. And those of us not so young, we've seen it. And it's real ugly. But then look how the influence is so strong. He says, when I wake up, I'm going to do it again. That's how strong that alcohol is. So tell students all the time that I work with, you don't know if you're going to be the one who can't stop, so don't even start. Tell the youth today, you don't know if you're going to be the one who can't stop, so don't even start. It's not worth it. It's not even worth it. All right, so let's go back to First Daniel chapter 1 and verse 5. When you're there, say amen. Youth, make a note for those of you taking notes. Just like you're fluent in English and Spanish, you got to be fluent in the word. Parents, we got to teach our kids to be fluent in the word. If they're not fluent in the word, they're not going to make it. If they're not fluent in the word, they're not going to make it. They're not going to stand a chance. It's just too much. Enemy's been around a long time. We talk about it in Bible study. This dude's been around since the beginning of time. Our youth have been around 10, 15, 16 years. We've been around in all of our infinite wisdom. We've been around 50, 60, 70 years and 80. We know nothing. Don't you think you can play with the enemy? You think you can eat with the king's meat and get away and not have to deal with the consequences? Do I have any read this, Sister Kathy? Let me see if I have any read this on this page. Can you read? Not on this page, maybe the next page. That's Daniel 1 and 5. Okay, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank. You see how dangerous that is. So nourishing them, look, 3 years, underline 3 years, he said, feed this to them daily for 3 years. And I say, why do you think college is 4 years? You're going to be turned out after four. 21 days creates a habit. 3 years creates a servant. That's what he said. Look. And at the end thereof, they might stand, which means serve before the king. 21 days creates a habit. 3 years creates a servant. Why do you think college is 4 years? Come out nutty as a fruitcake. Reprogrammed and nutty as a fruitcake. Mm-hmm. You're right, and you won't know it. All right, so here we go. Verse 6, now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, whose name means God is my judge, Hananiah, whose name means God has favored me, Mishael, whose name means who is what God is, and Azariah, Jehovah, his name means Jehovah has helped. All godly names. Mm. Got to give the Jews credit. They were raising their kids. They're training them up with godly names, knowing about God, the traditions. But then they still couldn't do. They still couldn't serve God. Just like us. That's why we need a Savior. Somebody say, Lord, thank you for Jesus Christ. Because they couldn't do it and we couldn't do it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not performance-based, it's grace-based. We all need a Savior. But you give them credit for at least teaching their kids about God. And knowing about God. But then verse 7, unto the prince of the eunuchs gave names. So he's going to give Daniel the name Belteshazzar, Lord of the straitened treasure, Shadrach, the great scribe, Meshach, guest of a king, and Abednego, servant of Nebo. And Nebo is some type of mythology. First thing we're going to do is change your name. We don't want to have any reminders of God. Sounds familiar? First thing I'm going to tell you is God doesn't exist. That we do evolution. That's why they teach it in the schools. We got to get rid of God. So then we can feed you the king's meat. And then you can start serving a false king. Some of us remember during Christmas time, we would go on Christmas vacation. Now it's winter recess. We used to go on Easter vacation. Now it's spring break. And you just go and get live during spring break. Has nothing to do with Easter. Family, if you don't see the parallels, then I don't know if you're really listening. They had to try and get God out of everything. Verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart. Underline that, always goes back to the heart. Why? Because he was taught. Youth, that's why we're trying to teach you. I know you think your parents and your pastor and your youth leaders are kind of hard on you, but we have to teach you. Amen. We have to. That's our job. That's our obligation. Congregation, you know I go hard, but that's the way I'm supposed to teach. That's the way God wired me. Because I have to answer for God if I'm watering down the scriptures. I can't water them down. I mean, I could, but I choose not to. It does us no good if we go out and we're playing at the king's table, not realizing we're even at his table. Now, if you go eat at the king's table, it's going to come in your spirit that, wow, I'm at the king's table right now. I didn't bought into this lie. At least you know the difference. I feel bad for the kids out there that don't know the difference. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile defile? What does the word defile mean? Let me see. I got it in my notes somewhere. I got too many notes. That's what I got. Pollute. There you go. Pollute. Desecrate or stain himself. Some of those kids did sell out. Daniel decided not to. So it says, eating the king's meat is like using a bathroom on yourselves every day. You defiled, you stained yourself, you desecrated yourself, you polluted yourself. Youth, please don't use the bathroom on yourself every day. That's what Daniel said. I'm not going to do that. Daniel said, I've been taught better. Remember, Daniel realized he was special treasure. And not turned out trash. That's what the enemy was trying to do. Youth, the enemy's trying to turn you into turned out trash. Look at your high school. Look around. Oh, and I did have this too. Let me. I want to share this with the youth. It does have a read this right here on this page, Sister Kathy. Youth is a whole kingdom mentality that you have to shift to. If you are not youth, if you are not going to school or college with the mindset, the kingdom mentality that I'm going to rescue some lost and dead youngsters, then you might be the one that gets turned out. Let me say that to my youth again. All my youth, those of us not so young. Hey, if you're not going to school saying, look, there's some kids here that are lost and need to be rescued. They need to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're not going with that mentality, then you're going to get caught up. If you go to college and you're living on campus and you don't realize, man, there's a lot of kids out here that's lost. I need to share the gospel. Then you will be eating at the king's table. You have to have a whole mindset shift right now as a youth. That you're out just like the mission of Jesus Christ to seek and to save those that are lost. Otherwise, you'll be at the king's table. Wow. And then parents, we need to have the kingdom mentality that we're sending our kids to school and college to evangelize at the campus. Anything else is really a waste of time and money. You and I will spend $250,000 to send our kids off to college to get turned out. College can never become more important than Christ. And then it says, youth, you have to decide who you want to work for, God or the world. Wow. That's why I read this. Don't let people change your name. God says you're a special treasure. God says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God says you're a saint because you've been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. God says you're a holy and a royal priesthood. Don't let anybody change your name. All right, where we at? Let me finish this up. I got another read this. The world wants to slap a label on you. From early in elementary school, the world wants to put a satanic zodiac sign on you. And I. Y'all don't let me get started on that. Because look, look at Daniel. Natalie, take us to 1 and 20. And then we'll come back to this, but look at this. This is after he refused to eat the king's meat and all that. We're going to come back to that next time. But look at how it ends. That's in Daniel 1 and 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, they found them 10 times better than all the magicians and who? That's the horoscope, y'all. God's wisdom supersedes the horoscope. Got people basing their lives on the horoscope and the tarot cards and the fortune cookies and the lottery. If I hit the lottery, then where God's wisdom is 10 times better than that. And it comes from his word. All right, so let me finish this. Right. Let me go back to my read this. Sorry, I got distracted. It amazes me how many Christians will check the zodiac sign. Well, let me finish this. From early in elementary school, the world wants to put a satanic zodiac sign on you and I. It amazes me how many Christians will check the zodiac sign for the day and never read the Bible. They will live their life and relationship based on the name that Satan has given them and not believe what God says about them. Then our kids go to school or college and the world tells them they are Democratic, Republican, liberal, conservative, independent, African-American, Latino, or Chicano, or a WASP, or LGBTQ, gender neutral, and all types of other foolishness. And the process of eating the king's meat and drinking his wine and reading his literature and language begins. And in 3 years, we're turned completely out. Running from God, never reading our world. We forgot that God gave us a name and a purpose and a mission and a calling to be salt and light and not sugar and spice. deep, but it's not complicated. Let's finish with verse 9. Let's read 8, then we'll finish with 9. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I don't want to use the bathroom on myself every day. I don't want to pollute myself. Verse 9. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and to tender love, which means sympathy and empathy, with the prince of the eunuchs. Underlying, God brought Daniel into favor. And that's where we'll have to pick it up on the next Youth Sunday. I do want to pray for our youth, and then we'll dismiss. Yes, sir. Darius reminds me he's going to do the closing prayer. But I'm going to pray for you all before we close out in prayer. Amen. How about that? So let me have my youth just come and stand right here.